James McFadden.
Yeah, I just want
to end this discussion. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to. I wanted it.
I'm sorry. Who made the point of order? Was that Jim Sagerton?
James, yeah. I just want to say I don't think that John Tatum should be opining on this issue. It's up to the board to interpret its own bylaws. And, this is for him to say, hello.
I thought I said that, Jim.
Okay. Oh, Larry, if you did say that, fine, but. You know, I think you sort of concluded with, if the bylaws say this, then that, and it's a little more complicated than that. Thank you.
Point of order, what rule has been broken? I don't.
The rule would be that the parliamentarian was making.
I address the chair, Mr. Sagerton.
Well, thank you, Holmes.
That's what the parliamentarian does, opine. And right. That's all.
Right. So.
That's all he does.
We're just going to keep going. But keep going to James McFadden, who, I'm sorry, Teresa's the last person on the stack. Go ahead, Jim McFadden.
I want to address this argument that Teresa made. And that I find invalid, you know, as a way to discriminate against runners up. And the argument runs like this, is that, runners up are not qualified because they came in behind someone who was elected. But you know, if somebody was elected and they left the board because they get bothered by the kind of debate that we have on the board or the way things happen on the board, then they shouldn't have run in the first place. And if they hadn't run in the first place, those runners up would have been elected. So I think this argument that they didn't get enough votes the first time and we don't want to let them in there, we want to keep, you know, these other people in, I think this is just an invalid argument. We created the whole runner up system, for a reason, because we knew people might pass away or might move away or might just not, you know, for life problems. You know, they're going to have to leave. And I think it's a great system. And, you know, for us to kind of throw it aside because we're thinking about some kind of faction aspect of it. Who, you know, how's my faction going to benefit or not benefit from this? Or I'm going to be off the board. What am I going to do for a whole year? You know, I think that's just a bogus argument. You know, we should stick with it. It says 6 years and in no event. I mean, that's pretty damn clear. And if we can't do that, you know, we're really in trouble.
All right, folks.
That is all suspect, John.
We're out of time because we made a motion to exhaust the stack. And I think of that as not a all-you-can-eat buffet, that as long as people keep, you know, there was a specific set of people who are on the stack. So, and we reached the end of that. So if,
request for information, Chair?
Yes, go ahead. I'll entertain a request for information.
When you were, I'm doing the timekeeping, and so I saw where everybody was who was on the stack, but did you not say that at that point then you were on the stack?
I did, but I took my turn.
Okay. Beg your pardon.
No worries. Thank you for looking out for me, Darlene. So unless I quickly, somebody raises a ruckus, I think we ought to, conclude this item by, figuring out, are there any objections to this motion?
Chair, point of information.
Okay, hang on. I'll let Vanessa ask a point of information.
I'm sorry. Could the motion be repeated, please?
This is Lawrence's motion to, hang on. Lawrence, do you have it right there? Hang on. I've got it. Basically that everybody who began service as a direct result of the 2016 delegate elections and have not taken a more than 12-month break somewhere since then, that their service ends in December and that vacancies get filled using the runner-up list from the October 2021 delegate elections.
Thank you.
That's the gist of it. So, are there any objections to the motion?
I object to the motion.
All right. So, Aki, can we go to a roll call vote, please?
Sure. Here you go.
And so just so that everybody's clear, a vote yes means a vote yes for the motion that Lawrence said, and a vote no means we stay with the motion that we passed a couple of weeks ago. Go ahead.
Okay, here we go. Okay, Teresa?
Alan says no.
Teresa says no. And Jim Dingman?
No.
Jim is no. Vanessa? Dix Riggs?
Pass.
Pass, okay. Sue is not here. Heather Gray? Heather?
I'm sorry. I'm passing as well.
Okay, you're passing. Donna is not here. Evadia Jones is not here. Okay, Ari Laksa. Ari?
No.
No? Okay. Marian Martinez?
Pass.
Pass, okay. James McFadden?
Yes.
James is yes. Okay, Darlene Pagano?
No.
Darling is no. Lawrence Reyes?
Yes.
Lawrence is yes. Okay. Sean Rhodes?
Yes.
Sean Rhodes is yes. Jim Sagerton?
No.
Jim is no. Shalom Salam?
Yes.
Shalom is yes. Aki will vote no. Mark?
No.
Mark is no. Beth Bangut?
No.
That is no. Igberto Woodridge?
That's no.
Okay. Igberto is no. Susan Young?
No.
Susan is no. Okay, go back to the past. Vanessa, you passed?
Yes.
Vanessa is yes. Okay, Heather, you passed?
No.
Heather is no. Okay, and Maria Martinez, you passed?
Abstain.
Abstain. Okay, got it.
And the chair.
Oh, that's right. Chair? What? How do you vote?
I'll abstain.
Okay. Two abstentions. So it's, five
Madam Chair,
yes.
Did the secretary vote?
I voted.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Five yes out of a no and two abstentions.
So the motion fails. Okay. That brings us to the next motion on the agenda, which is a motion on programming. This is a motion from Jim Dingman. And this has been carried over for several meetings. Jim, are you ready to, would you like me to read the motion?
I'll read it.
Go ahead.
All right. This is a motion, and there's another motion I see that Susan has entered, which has a little different emphasis. But anyway, whereas the current source of our revenue is 95% dependent on listener members, and that the Pacifica Foundation has suffered since 2000 a severe decline in our membership, impacting our fiscal stability and ability to exist, and that at the present time, all of our five stations have varying levels of fiscal and audience problems that have drastic effects on the existence of the foundation as a viable entity. This is especially true for three of the stations. One of the issues that must be addressed is the necessity to refresh the programming and open up new possibilities for growth. At the same time, it is necessary for the staff, management, and listener members at each station to pull together as a team to push this foundation past its fiscal doldrums. Hence, be it resolved that starting from the passing of this resolution, all shows are considered as temporary and must reapply to the PDGM of their respective stations to be continued on the air. The evaluation process must include the variety of motions passed as policy by the PNB over the years that include evaluations of the shows. This must be implemented as per each local situation as seen as what is viable, but measures implemented must be reported to the PNB by the beginning of December 2022. The air is controlled by the foundation. The interests of the public are signals served, and that is uppermost in what we need to do moving forward. Whereas all mandates for must-carry programming are considered suspended while we reorganize ourselves out of near collapse, there will be no exceptions to this. In addition, each station must set as a goal to begin implementing measures in any way they see fit to minimally increase their audience and gross revenue by 25% by April 2023. The way it left up to the teamwork of each station to achieve this. But the goal is to have measurable and concrete growth within the next 6 months. The program directors and take measures immediately to begin reforming and changing the grids at the various stations to begin growth in audience and revenue. It's necessary for the GMs and PDs to monthly report to the PNB the changes that address problems that the current programming grids manifest in their problems to raise audience and revenue. The objective of these reforms is to help increase the revenue streams of all stations and slowly turn the foundation around out of difficult financial. And I'd like to motivate this.
Hang on one second. Yeah, hang on one second, Jim. There were a couple of times, at least for me, where your audio cut out. I just want to check and see, was that true for other people?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Yeah, so I suspected. And
is that better?
What you just said was better. So.
All right. Yeah, sorry. I just took out the mic.
Okay.
All right. Anyway, I think everybody's seen this. The reason we have to address the programming problem, okay? We've not addressed that yet in all the discussions we've had for months. In fact, I would say for years. And the kind of measures we're forced to do now, we should have been doing 10, 15 years ago or 20 years ago when these problems started. One, the issue of having people apply to be on the air. That can be handled any way the local stations want to do it. But we have to start addressing the fact that some shows do not have anybody listening to them in any significant numbers, and other shows do. And we have to take steps to improve that question of who's on and who isn't on. The issue of must carries, I see the motion that Susan says they're to be suspended indefinitely, my position on that is they're to be suspended right now because we have to, we just have to grow our audiences. We have to get up from, the average of 70 to 90,000 per station. We got to double that to 200,000 as fast as we can because that's where we're getting our revenue. And I leave it up to the teams at the stations to accomplish this, but I set goals of measurement of money coming in because some stations don't get Nielsen ratings. Some stations, have lost the ability to pay the Nielsens. I see that all, and so I look at some of these outstanding payables that jumps out at me. But what is easily attained as a measurement is the amount of revenue coming in. And I think it is a fair and reasonable expectation to say that all the stations, they can figure out however they want to accomplish this, but within 4 to 5 months, we should see at least a 25% growth in revenue and audience. That can be measured by the streaming functions of KPTFX, but it's up to them to implement it. You know, I'm not coming down and saying, you know, here's the way you got to do it. It's up to them to do it, but we've got to focus in on the fact that is what we do, is programming. We're not selling popsicles. We're selling programming to our metro audiences and the audiences in the metro areas we're in different ways, have rejected our programming, and that has to alter. We have to take steps to do that now. That's the point of this motion.
Thanks, Jim. Before we go much further, Can I get a second to Jim's motion? Anyone?
Second.
Thank you, Mark. Okay, now we can have discussion. So I have a bit of a stack. I see Jim Sagerton, Darlene, and Susan. Go ahead, Jim Sagerton.
Thank you, Chair. I want to say that to me, there is no essential conflict between the current motion and the substitute motion. And I hope we can formulate a combination of the two. And I really basically have one simple thing to say. Fascism is afoot, people. There's fascism. It is afoot. And we need to have a cogent response that reaches the mass of people. And we're not doing that. We have a tiny share of the market. We need to reach the people and forestall a fascist attack. That's all I have to say. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Darlene, you're next. Did you put your hand down or are you still muted, Darlene?
I beg your pardon. I was having a great conversation just then.
share with us.
Yes. Because the PMB has this oversight responsibility, we're supposed to be where the buck stops. I think we have the belief that we can micromanage everything and anything at any station. And I think that has been a large part of some of what goes on in the stations that goes out over the air. I know that at KPF, we're having an all-staff meeting this Sunday to discuss programming. And last Friday, we began a change around of the Friday lineup, or at least the Friday morning lineup. And that was done, and some shows didn't make it. And that was done with careful negotiation, respect, and face to face or voice to voice, at least, work. I don't think that we can also predict, if this motion passes and they do this, then there will be a 25% increase by April. We cannot predict that. And even if this motion passes and we vote on it, the vote of the PNB does not supersede reality, the situation, or God. We cannot outvote.
Darlene, your time is up.
And you know what? That's fine. Thank you. And I end.
Thanks. Susan, you're next.
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure what the order of this should be. I have been working with Jim a long time about, hey, what the heck do we do with these Nielsens? Why aren't you having more success at WBAI if you're leading the charge? How is it that we translate what you're bringing to our attention into actual actions? And the question I asked Jim is, what would help your GM and PD? Is there an action, a policy that the PNB could adopt that would give them cover for making tough decisions? I consider Jim's, he's taking an important lead on this, but I see sort of diatribe and resolve clauses all mixed together. I think 25% is arbitrary. I don't know what it means that they have to honor all the previous actions that anybody else has ever taken. I have no idea where you find that. So I tried to simplify it, make it a cookbook, but have it as a framework that supports GMs and PDs in making tough positions. So I don't know when it's appropriate for me to move my substitute motion, but I wanted to talk about Jim's motion and mine.
Well, you had the floor. You could have.
I could have. So I still have the floor and I haven't been. So I move my substitute motion.
Would you like to read your substitute motion so that people know what it says?
Yeah. And I'll even try to find that. Okay. Hold on a minute. Okay. Hold on a minute here.
Can it be sent? Programming.
It's in the agenda, Beth.
Okay. Substitute motion on programming from Susan Young. Whereas 95% of current revenues for the Pacifica Foundation are dependent on listener members. Whereas the Pacifica Foundation has suffered a severe decline in audience membership and listener support since 2000, resulting in financial instability and a threat to the ability of the Pacifica network to survive. And whereas all five Pacifica stations, to varying degrees, have experienced declines in audience and listener support. Now, therefore, be it resolved that all programs of all five stations are considered temporary and must reapply to the general manager MPD of their station for reevaluation as frequently as required by the GM and PD, but at least annually. Specific quantifiable goals for audience and on-air generated revenue, the address station management station, and support for the proposed 2023 station budget. Reevaluation of the general manager and program director shall include audience, listener support, adherence to the Pacifica mission, and contribution to programming diversity that serves the signal area. Design of each station's program grid will include quantifiable measures for building audience and listener support that are monitored on an ongoing basis and are designed to significantly contribute to the financial sustainability of the station. Plans for the program grids of each station and goals for audience and listener support will be reported to the executive director, who will give the PNB monthly updates about progress reported by the general managers and program directors. All mandates for must-carry programming are hereby suspended indefinitely.
Thank you, Susan. Is there a second to Susan's motion to amend?
I'll second.
Thank you, Teresa. Okay, so now technically the discussion pertains to Susan's motion to amend. So, Teresa?
Susan, please explain specifically how your plan would differ and make a difference. You already have, but I'd like you to repeat that.
Go ahead, Susan.
Okay. Yeah. Basically I follow much of Jim's guidance, but I'm trying to make it clear what it is that the GMs and PDs do, that we give them a framework that gives them an accountability that permits them to say no to difficult things and to make some difficult decisions. I remove the 25%. I say that they have to establish clear goals that are in line with their budget proposals, and that are appropriate for that station. So, I mean, to me, 25% for KPFA and 25% for WBAI, I mean, that just seems to be out of thin air. I also say that there is that the must carry is suspended indefinitely, you know, until we can come back and specify must carries again.
Jim Dingman, you're up.
Yeah. All right. Let me get into why I have those the quantifiable goals. You know, I've been on the program council at BAI. I've been looking at this data for several decades. 25% means getting the audience up at these stations to about 110 to 120,000 AQH. Now in New York, that would mean one strip, let's say a Monday through Friday strip, that could be increased by 50 to 100%. Now we already had a strip in New York increased by that amount. That's the What's Going On strip. That gets 6 to 11,000 people listening to the shows. That's what the Arbitrons say. And so I'm not actually, you know, pushing forth some impossible goal, but the reason, you know, I'm saying is that there's all these other imponderables to include. That's why I emphasize the team aspect of this, because you have these program committees. You have this move to establish programming councils. And programming councils should not be, they're advisors to the PD. They're not the, quote, programmers. And so, you know, to simply state that, look, we got to get our, if 95% of our money right now is coming in from programming, it's not that impossible a goal to figure out how we could boost ourselves and get over 100,000 per station. And that's what I'm talking about, you know, like, and again, you know, Trump was president of the United States. Our Arbitrons declined over 4 years. It's quite astounding. And now we have a situation, you know, we can interpret his midterms any way we want, but we're going to have one hell of a roller coaster ride here politically in the next 2 years. And we have another opportunity to take advantage of that to grow. So, you know, I just don't think, you know, it's that impossible to set actual concrete numbers. And you don't have to be rigid about it. You know, oh, you didn't get it? Okay. You know, you get spanked. You want to make sure that you have growth going on. And how they do it, it's up to them. It's up to them completely.
Are there others who wish to speak? I don't see any hands at the moment.
I may have taken a hand down by mistake.
Yep. Okay. So I don't see any, Jim Sagerton and Darlene. Jim Sagerton, go ahead.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, I would like to move to postpone. I think that Jim and Susan need to get together on this and figure out exactly what the objective is, what the goal is, and I think there are positive aspects to both of what they're saying. And so I want to postpone this until the next meeting, which is 1 week from now. And,
thank you. Susan seconded. So now the motion up for discussion on the floor is the motion to postpone. Any discussion of the motion to postpone? All right. So let me see if there are, is there anyone who objects to the motion to postpone?
I do have a question, Chair.
Yeah, go ahead, Darlene.
Wait, this is the third zig that this discussion has taken, and where we are with time, I'm puzzled.
Fair enough. What I will say is where we are with time is it's 10:27 on the East Coast, and our time to go to executive session was 27 minutes ago. So, I asked whether there were any objections to the motion to postpone. I haven't heard anyone express a motion to postpone. So without objection, the motion to postpone carries. And so we'll take this motion up at the November 17th meeting. Okay. And I'm writing myself a very clear note this time. Okay. That takes us to, item number 7 on the agenda, which is a motion from the Programming Committee on Podcasting. Heather, would you like to, and that's the last item in the open session. Heather,
yes,
would you like to?
Yes. Yes, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Julie.
No, would you like to read the motion and motivate?
Well, I'd like to read the motion, but I'm going to ask Ali Lexa to motivate this. We have had a brief discussion about it, previously on the board, but we had to end the meeting before we were able to do anything. So let me just read this quickly. This was passed by the programming committee. Move that the Pacifica programs that have self-produced podcasts begin the process of submitting them to all public aggregators such as iTunes, Spotify, iHeart, Stitcher, TuneIn, Google, etc. This does not apply to music programs due to licensing restrictions. Pacifica cannot podcast music programs. The motivation. This will help get their podcast programs out to a much broader and larger audience at no extra cost to Pacifica or any of the stations. So, Ali, would you please make comments here?
Sure. So,
go ahead, Ali.
One of the things I did when I was assisting Mo Thomas at KPFK was I reached out to all the programs at the station that have podcasts and asked which would like to have their podcasts also included in these other aggregators or listers, iTunes, Spotify, etc. I helped about 160 different programs get on these different platforms. It doesn't cost us anything. It doesn't require anything. It's basically like putting a link on a place that has links to websites, except for these links are actual podcasts, which have information about the shows, the episodes, etc. So this motion is basically just to encourage all the other programs on Pacifica that have podcasts to submit these to these aggregators. It's a simple process, but it has to be done, and you have to follow the procedure specifically for it to come up correctly. And what this does, if someone's on Spotify or iTunes or whatever, and they type in something about environment or, you know, voting rights or whatever, and these topics are included in the keywords on some of our podcasts, those shows will pop up. And then, hey, suddenly someone who's nowhere near a Pacifica station or an affiliate station might find one of our podcasts, start listening and subscribe to it, maybe explore some of our other programs. It's just a way to reach out to a much bigger and broader audience. It doesn't cost us anything. It's a pretty simple motion, and I hope you all support it.
Point of information, I think.
Go ahead, Susan.
Yeah, Clarity, did Ali second?
Oh, it was a motion out of the programming committee.
I seconded it.
We don't need a second for things that come from committees. Thank you. Very observant. Okay, so I see a stack. Jim, then Lawrence, then Mark, then Darlene. Jim Dingman, go ahead.
I 220% second this. This is long overdue. I've been arguing we'd do this for 10 damn years or 20 damn years. So it's about time we do this. Thank you.
Lawrence, go ahead.
I support this too. It's the way my son would tune back in. So that's a good thing. How is it going to be marketed, Ali, and Heather?
Well, we've talked about getting this to all the stations, but, you know, if the board passes it, it would be more of an incentive, Lawrence, I think. So, Ali, do you want to respond to that as well?
Well, I'd be glad to put together a FAQ, like, bullet point list of how to do it so that people could follow the process for their shows, or someone could take on the task at different stations for shows that want to have this done and just follow the step-by-step process of how to do it.
Thanks, Ali. Mark's up next.
Certainly full support of this motion, and thank you to the programming committee for putting this out there. I'm going to indulge myself by making this big argument about the future of Pacifica, and that podcasting platforms are really the bare minimum our program should be doing. And I'm not saying that judgmentally, but the future of radio is not on radio, and Pacifica must make the transition to being a multi-platform media organization. And this includes things like YouTube and Twitch and Wowza and Flowplayer, whatever the next big video platform is going to be. Our radio shows need to start turning into video shows. And Pacifica is way behind in establishing itself into new media. Pacifica should be the equivalent of Al Jazeera or the BBC in international news dissemination. It could be. It should be. And when we talk about platforms like YouTube, like when Jim Dingman and I, we keep singing the same song out here. We're also talking about revenue, and that's very important. And when Ali and Alberto, you know, when we're talking about iTunes and Stitcher, we're also talking about revenue. But it doesn't happen overnight, and we are way behind. So however this motion can compel our programmers to make this transition to be thinking bigger, I fully endorse it. Anyway, that's all. Just wanted to soapbox. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark. Darlene?
Yes, on this motion, I could say in advance, but I would like to see somehow that we state how we can offer help for the stations to put this underway. KPFA has our own podcast platform. We're on YouTube with all the shows that will do that recording. And so we're in a good position to grow this. And we also have, if the question was, how are we going to, how's the word going to spread about all of this? And we do have a social media specialist at KPFA. Again, I can't offer anybody up, but I think that we need to, be able to, when this motion passes, as I'm hoping it would, we should be able to say, here are some folks who can help, or here are some folks who can describe what it did for their station. Here are some folks who can help with this is how it's integrated. So thanks. Just don't just tell the radio stations, also give the stations. Thanks.
Thank you, Darlene. That makes me think that should we pass this motion, one of the things we ought to do is we don't have to make it formally a part of the motion, but one of the things we should do is communicate the motion to the GMs and PDs at the units, and also give them names of people like Ali Lexa, who offered to create a how-to FAQ, and Mark and Darlene and some others, in terms of, you know, being at least points of contact, you know, to find people who can help answer questions for those other units who might, you know, seek assistance on this. I see Susan and then Ali. Susan, go ahead.
Yeah, I think there seems to be unanimous support for this. I agree with you, Julie, that we do not need to amend the motion to be able to add all of these, you know, niceties, that we can look to the people on the PNB and, people in the different stations, and to Stephanie to move forward with this effort vigorously and, make it activate in an appropriate way. And, I would encourage us to, vote for this by acclamation as soon as the stack is exhausted.
Thanks. And the stack is Ali, Jim, and Jim Dingaman and Jim Sagerton. Ali, go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to, you know, thank Jim Dingaman and Mark for their comments. This is obviously something that Pacifica should have been on at least 10 years ago. And I want to give a perfect example. The Jimmy Dore show, I brought Jimmy Dore to KPFK about 16 years ago, and I helped him develop his show and create his podcast. And he was able to grow his podcast audience. I know that Mark is now one of the producers of the show. He was able to grow and monetize his podcast to the point where he has left Pacifica, and his full-time income, or his predominant income, is based on his podcast. He didn't need to fight for airspace. You know, one of the problems we have a lot, and we're talking about programming at Jim Dingaman's motion a few minutes ago, this fight and struggle for airtime. You know, Jimmy Dore doesn't need our airtime. He is doing fine with his podcast audience. And so many of these programs just don't understand. They got to get out there and get on podcasting networks. They are going to have audiences that are much bigger and huger than they've found on their terrestrial platforms within Pacifica. And of course, we'll still have the best shows on the air, but they can, you know, especially these shows with very specific topics or very specific audiences, they can find those people that might not just be within their signal area. So yeah, this is something that really should have been pushed a long time ago. It met with a lot of resistance when it was first brought up about 6 years ago. And I'm glad to see that. Apparently there's unanimous support for this. You know, I also want to mention, I helped get about 35 Spanish language programs on these platforms too. And they're starting to discover audiences in other countries that are listening to them via Spotify and iTunes. So, you know, it's not just US. So they're finding their people and their audiences around the world.
Thanks, Ali. Jim Dingman.
Yeah. Just to reinforce what Mark and Ali and Egberto, we've talked about this. You know, we put forth motions on these issues like 5 or 6 years ago and nobody paid attention to them. And this is all long overdue. We have to multi-platform each station. We are multi-platform, multimedia, platforms of audio. And that can deal with a lot of the problems that people have about being replaced. Because frankly, put into a situation where they might be taken off the analog with training and help, they probably could develop even bigger audiences through social media, through these kind of methods than they, and they can just improve completely what they're doing. So this is something long overdue, and I'm glad that we all agree upon it because I know everybody does here. This is something we have to do at each station. This is what we have to do now, and we can try to do it on the cheap. You know, I hear Darlene about, you know, who's going to do it, but you know, we've got the Gen Zs. The Gen Zs are out there. You know, they do this as by rote. It's astounding when I deal with young people. So that's where we got to sit there and bring those guys in to help us out on this.
Thanks, Jim. Jim Sagerton.
Thank you. Jimmy Dore, Amy Goodman, whatever. I get it. I want to refer back to something I said before, which maybe I didn't make clear. Fascism is afoot. There is fascism out there, actual fascism. And we have to respond to that. And we're not doing it effectively. We do with hour-long programs about, you know, which I prefer, about political economy, fine. I like that, but nobody else is responding to it. So we need to respond to right-wing radio. They're owning us. And one way to do that is with these kinds of proposals. So I'm in favor of this. And we have to invigorate ourselves. This will enlarge us. It will charge us. We'll bring in donations. We have to pose ourselves as an opponent and an alternative to this right-wing fascism. It's right out there. It's out there. That's all. Thank you.
Thanks. Heather?
I'm going to be brief. I'm just wanting to thank everybody so much for your comments. I'm so pleased that the program committee and also Ali Lexa came up with this whole proposal. So thanks, everyone. That's all I want to say, Julie. I agree that it's important that we get more information out all over the place about the programming from Pacifica and the affiliates as well. But go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, no, thanks. Jim Dingman, do you really need another bite of the apple?
I do. I wanted to let, you know, Ali raised a very good thing about the international issue aspects of it, that Spanish language, programming has been picked up in other countries. And that is really fascinating because that's something we never really explore, the international dimensions of what we could be doing in terms of collaboration. And right now, just to deal with what Jim has said, you know, my God, we can sit there and create new content immediately to deal with the situation that we're in as Americans. It's because it's our responsibility as Americans living in a society to handle the situation that we're inflicting on the rest of humanity. And podcast motivation, the method, that, you know, I mean, it's just mind-boggling.
Thanks, Jim. Darlene, maybe you're our last speaker on this.
I hope I'm doing this properly. Given the constraints of the time of this meeting at this night, can we call for a vote?
Certainly. Are there any objections to the motion from the Program Committee on Podcasting? Hearing none. The motion carries.
Blah, blah, blah.
Thanks for your clap, Mark.
Yeah, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, such a sour tone.
Here you go.
Yeah. Sour this.
I blew a little horn with confetti coming out of it. Okay, that brings us to item 8 on the agenda.
This podcast kills fascism, James.
Ooh. Good.
That's the title of a podcast.
A good insecticide. It's good.
Julie, this is Heather, just quickly. We're having our programming committee on the 22nd of November, and I'm going to invite everybody to come to that meeting so we can have more of a discussion about this, how we move forward. I just wanted to mention that. Thank you.
Yeah, great. Thank
you. Say to Mark that
can you send
radio
that out, Heather?
Yeah, well, I will absolutely send it out, Darlene. Sorry.
Thank you. Jim Sackerton, did you mean to be unmuted during this? I didn't know if you knew.
I said to Mark Landowitz, right-wing radio is eating our lunch. We need to fight back.
Yeah. Motion to go into executive session.
Yes, that is the item that we're at on the agenda. Is there a second to Susan's motion to go into executive
session? I'll second it.
Thank you, Teresa. Any objections to the motion to go into executive session and cover the items on the executive session agenda?
Can we take five, Chair?
Yes. Okay. Any objections? Hearing none at 10:44 p.m. We are ending this portion of the open session and going into closed session.